This is July the 17th. Let's pray. Lord, shape our minds, feed our minds, feed our spirits. Nourish us with your word so that we can grow in knowledge, in faithfulness, in witness, in love of you. Amen. I'm going to focus this Sunday on the epistle, which is Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 28. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Amen. He is, Paul says in verse 15, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. He is the image of the invisible God. As one kid once said, God with skin. And Jesus said to his disciples, remember, if you see me, if you know me, you see the Father and know the Father, for I and the Father are one. Now, for us, this is not a physical seeing and knowing, but in who he is, we know him. What he does, we know him. His character, his nature. The disciple of Christ knows Jesus. And that, says Jesus, is the beginning of eternal life. In John 17, he says, Jesus prays, "You granted me authority over all people, that I might give eternal life to all those you have given me. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Not merely then to know of Jesus. Many know of him. Not merely to know about Jesus. Many know about him. Not merely to admire Jesus. Many do. But to know him. To be in relationship with him. In an even closer and more intimate way than even the closest relationship you have on this earth. You see, we must ask ourselves, does the Holy Spirit cry out joyfully within you that God is your heavenly Father in a way and with a force stronger yet than you know your own earthly Father? Do you know that crying out, that joyful proclamation? Well, to that question, the best answer any of us can give is not as much as I should, and wonderfully not as much as I can. Not as much as I should, and not as much as I can. Never doubt this. Never doubt. We can know him, the Lord Jesus, more and love him more. This is why he gives us the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, reveals Jesus to us who are his disciples. Paul writes in verse 16, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him." Who created the heavens and the earth? The Father did it. Through the Son, created by him, we read, and for him. All that we are and all around us only makes sense, only has true meaning when Christ is our Lord and we are centered on him. And until we grasp this, oh, how we rush around from one acquisition to another, from one pleasure to another, not one of them ever satisfying us until Jesus becomes the cornerstone of our life, until Jesus becomes the foundation of our life, until Jesus becomes the sole focus of our life. And then, and only then, does life have any meaning at all. Back in 1966, the actor Michael Caine starred in a movie called Alfie, where he takes the title role. He plays a man who flits from one liaison to another with no thought except for personal pleasure, only at the end to be confronted with the emptiness and meaningless and the consequences of his lifestyle. There was a hit song written for the movie, also called Alfie. It was sung by Cher, and a version of which became a big hit in England at the time. And it began like this. What's it all about, Alfie? Is it just for a moment we live? What's it all about, Alfie? Is it just for a moment we live? What a tragic waste of a life that is lived with no thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you and I live a life that just flits from one thing to another as we decide to do, what a tragic waste. A waste, Jesus says, that we will deplore in eternity. Truly, St. Augustine had the right of it when he said of God, "Thou hast created us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." And rest, in his meaning, refers to salvation. Thou hast created us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their salvation in thee. And so Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, talking of Jesus, he says, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." It's why we have a universe and not a multiverse. In other words, life without Christ is utterly meaningless. We eat, we drink, we buy, we board and we breed, and then we die with no more meaning than roadkill on the side of the road. How important it is for all of us who are Christian to feed on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to draw nearer and nearer to him. And why is this so important? Because we are called to be holy. We are set apart by God for his purpose. It is God who has set us apart, and he has a purpose for us. And the purpose is to make him known to those who do not yet know him. And we do this by our fellowship, our sharing together of Christ in the church, the gathering of believers. And what an extraordinary thing, what a wonderful thing God meant the church to be. We are to be the body of Christ, with Christ as its head. If the church, any Christian church, is to function as God intended, then the Lord Jesus Christ must be the head of that church. The head. What does the head do? It plans. It guides. It directs. It feeds the body. The head of Holy Cross must be the Lord Jesus Christ. The head of any church must be the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the budget, not the numbers, not the marketing, not the lifestyles, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Him and only him. Every one of us is under a holy, holy obligation to seek him. And we must hunger and thirst to grow in knowledge of him, to be guided by him, so that we may be better able to have Holy Cross do what he, our head, wants us to do. Thus, Paul writes in Colossians 1, verse 18 and through 20, "He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." You see, this is why your church, whichever church you're a member of, exists. We have a message to proclaim. And what is that message? Here it is, Colossians 1, verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's personal body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. And this we are called to do, but we are called to do it and can only do it if, in Colossians 1 verse 23, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. And this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. You see, what God intends for the church, what He wants us to be, people, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Paul talks of the church in Colossians 1, 25 and following. He says, I have become its servant, its slave, by the commission God gave me. God commissioned me also. Oh, I'm not Paul. I'll never be anything close to Paul. But I've been called by God to present to you, as Paul says it, the word of God in its fullness. The mystery, which is a truth hidden but now made known, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations but is now disclosed to the saints, Christians, to them, to the church. God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not only to know Him, not only to hear of Him, not only to serve Him, not only to receive His salvation, but He comes to live within us. We are the temple of His Holy Spirit. This is God's purpose for your life. This is God's purpose for the church that you belong to. Well, are we fulfilling God's purpose for our lives? Does our church do so? And to what extent? Well, we will, if we never cease to know Him better, if we continue to hunger and thirst for Him and knowledge of Him, if we hunger and thirst to live lives shaped and guided by Him, then increasingly we will. But if we do not, then everything we do is meaningless. God forbid. Amen.